Rider Nation, William Powell, bringing the energy, bringing the fight, bringing the fire every game day, every practice. Let's go, Rider Nation.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Labor Day week is here. Here we go. There's the Johnny McKeg Band. This is the Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I want to know who the hell this guy is.
Yeah, he hasn't been here.
Just comes,
he just shows up.
Comes and goes whenever he pleases.
Drinks our Churchill Brewing Company beer.
Yeah, and just, yeah.
I bring the Churchill Brewing Company beers. So bite me.
We really need to change that drop-off point at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know why you guys let me organize things.
I'm Greg, by the way.
You can give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Strevamod, by the way.
No, it's not. It will
Mr.
never
Steve.
Be.
Mr. Steve.
My name is still that on Twitter. Now.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check out Instagram as well. Search PifflesPod. And, of course, the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. They're on Skip the Dishes, and it's here. It is here.
And you're welcome, people.
Pumpkin spice season is here. Go get yourself a pumpkin pie blizzard at Dairy Queen.
Steve's going to go get one right now.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to go to our freezer, bud. There's one in the freezer.
There's a pumpkin pie blizzard in the
freezer. That was me leaving because I'm tired of talking about it already.
Can I just... So, we're recording this on Tuesday night. Tuesday was the official pumpkin spice launch.
It's August!
At Starbucks.
Exactly.
Guess what? It worked. Guess what? It worked. I went and got myself a pumpkin spice frap on the way to work, and my work wife even got me a pumpkin spice latte.
You have a work wife?
Yeah.
Huh.
Even has a girl name.
It's a unisex name.
I'm so confused. As are the people who think that pumpkin spice in August is even remotely acceptable.
It was a cold, dreary, rainy day. It was a beautiful fall day.
You're just asking for it to stay fall.
Yeah, I love fall. Fall's my favorite.
Give me 20 degree weather for at least
another fall.
Month. That's fall! No, like warm 20, not cold 20.
Screw you, Steve. Strap them on.
Buy a pumpkin spice or
20
pumpkin
degrees
pie
is 20
blizzard
degrees.
From DQ.
We did, yeah.
I won't. I love them. I will buy a different kind of blizzard.
Well, more for you than if you go to Dairy Queen and get the pumpkin pie blizzard. I love this debate every single year.
Yeah, I know. Steve gets so fired up.
He gets so mad.
We've got
year.
Pumpkin pie and Chris Streveler tonight. I'm coming in pissed off.
This is a good week.
Pumpkin cookies right now.
They weren't pumpkin spice, like I told you. I was right. I didn't lie to you.
No, he told
I
the truth.
I didn't tell the entire truth.
But, yeah, you told me, though.
That's not a lie. We're also a proud sponsor of the CFPN. You guys should see Steve's face right now. The Canadian Football Podcast Network. And we're a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. Yeah, go back to your fantasy draft, Steve. Steve's doing his NFL fantasy draft right now. So if he's a little distracted, it's because he doesn't know who to take. We have a lot to get to here. Let's get right down to it. Time for the opening kickoff.
Stupid Chris Streveler. Stupid pumpkin spice.
40-18, the Riders dismantle the Ottawa Red Blacks last Saturday night, and that was a lot of fun. That was probably the most fun I've had at a game in a long, long time. I want to start right off the bat. Let's go with the defense. How about three straight series, three straight interceptions, Nick Marshall, LJ McCray, and then Derek Moncrief chasing Dominic Davis from the game. He was 3 of 6.
All his
passes were completed.
Yeah, great passing percentage.
Half of them were to the Riders, and almost all of them returned almost for touchdowns.
I thought Marshall was going to break that one. Like I was in Edmonton on a vacation there, and had to watch the game on TV, and it looked like he was actually going to bust that all the way.
I was sitting in the stadium, and it looked like he was going to bust that the whole way. That was a lot of fun to watch. Dominic Davis was the best Rider quarterback out there.
I was actually surprised. I thought the very first play they should have gone after Nick Marshall. Right after they handed the ball off, I was like, "Hey, you know what I would have done? I would have tested him deep, see what happens." He's the guy that we beat for 3 touchdowns in week 2 with the same quarterback. And then I don't know why Dominic Davis thought that throwing it to Rider players was the best idea, but threw it right to
Marshall was the first
Marshall.
One.
his second one to LJ McCray, I don't know where he was throwing it to.
LJ McCray.
There was literally no one else around him.
Yeah, he just split two receivers for some reason. A guy zigged when he should have zagged, and it went right between the two of them.
And the Derek Moncrief pick, he made a good break on the ball, too. So his receiver was open. Moncrief just came out of nowhere and swooped in.
And technically on the first one, Marshall made a I don't know how it looked in the stadium, but they showed a couple replays on it. And Marshall did make a play on it. He left his guy. Like, he is lucky that Davis was locked in. Because he left his guy wide open to go get that ball.
It was a smothering defense. That's what we like to see out of this team, and it just didn't stop from there. They scored 17 points off those three interceptions, and that was essentially the game right there. That just set the tone, and that was about it. We could talk about the defense a little bit more, but I kind of want to go to the offense because they showed a whole bunch of different things that we haven't seen yet this year, and I want to get you guys' reaction on that. One, welcome back to the end zone, Naaman Roosevelt. How nice was it to see him finally get one?
And a nice play, too, the escaped route for escaped sack from Fajardo. A nice pass. Love seeing Roosevelt get in the end zone. More of that, please.
And Roosevelt was running that deep out, and he curled back in when he saw Fajardo was in trouble. And that's the great thing about having a veteran receiver like Rosie right there. He recognized what was happening and made a play so his quarterback could make a play to him.
Speaking of veteran receivers, it looked like the Manny Arsenault of old was back. I know that big play that he had got taken back by penalty, but it was nice to see the little bushwhacker arm thing that Manny does all the time with the marching. Big play. He was back looking like old Manny.
Definitely a great plan by the Riders. 9 different receivers, I think I saw.
They spread the ball around a lot.
That was a great. And how about that catch by Linus? Like off, just like this close. And I know you can't see because it's an audio, but it was like an inch off the ground before, so it didn't hit the turf. And a great catch by him as well.
I thought that was a drop the whole way. I was waiting for the challenge flag, and then the replay came up. Beautiful.
Another little sprinkle of genius this game. Cody Fajardo looked good again. A touchdown run again for the third straight game. He's up to, what, 6 or 7 this year? And William Powell, 2 more. He has 9 touchdowns this year. So those two guys are keeping this offense moving.
We've matched, haven't we matched the last year's offensive touchdown total halfway through the season?
Yeah.
That is either both great and pathetic at the same time, but yeah, I'll take it.
Pathetic?
Pagrate?
Maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Grathetic? Yeah, Grathetic's good.
Shaquille O'Neal mash words are.
Can we never again mention how bad last year's offense was? That would be glorious. This one is so much more fun to watch. Please don't bring it up. Just don't.
And that's what's nice about this team is there's actually an offense to watch. The running game's going. We can throw the ball. You don't like seeing guys get hurt, but Zach Lowe's getting hurt on the third play of the game was the best thing for this franchise in, God, I don't know how long. Because it got us Cody Fajardo.
And that's one of the things, like, all these teams are like, who are the Riders beat? Who are the Riders beat? And, like, everyone's coming in hurt. We lost our quarterback third play of the year. And
we've been playing with a backup longer than anybody else.
And it's working out for us.
That's not true. Dominic Davis and Jonathan Jennings have been starting all year in Ottawa.
Three more plays than we do, I guess. Oh,
they also won their first game against Calgary, something that we couldn't do, but
we'll win our second one.
But, Greg, you bring up a great point. People complain, well, who have the Riders beat? Who have the Riders beat? Nobody. They haven't beaten anybody. Edmonton has 6 wins. Who have they beat? Toronto twice. BC twice. Montreal in very first week of the year against Antonio Pipkin. And Ottawa. They beat nobody. But guess what? Everybody else is hurt. Nobody's beat anybody. Everybody's on a level playing field. So I don't buy this, well, they haven't beat anybody. You can only play who you're, you know, put up against, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The goal is still the same. You still have to win. They're all professional athletes. They're all professional teams. Ottawa aside. Okay, well, they do have a better record than Toronto and BC. But
yeah, but Toronto and BC look like they're on the rise, and Ottawa's getting worse.
Ottawa's definitely on the slide, and BC looks like they can win games. They just don't want to at this point. I don't get it.
They play a good 30 minutes, and then they just decide not to. Maybe not 30 minutes last week where they only got 3 points in the first half against Hamilton. But look at Hamilton. They lost their starting quarterback. They're still 8-2, so they're still beating teams.
See, the thing with BC, though, is they play 30 minutes, and then Riley takes a 30-minute nap because he's on his back so much.
Just getting used to hit, right?
Oh, my God.
How nice was it to see Brett Lothar back?
it's nice going into a game feeling absolutely comfortable with a kicker, not like we have for, what is it, three weeks?
Three or four games.
Yeah. It's been real. I love Brett Lauther. You know he's automatic, even though he did miss. But, you know, I'm a lot more comfortable with him back there.
I'm definitely more comfortable with anything over 40 yards than I was with Ferraro, that's for sure.
And one final thing I want to bring up to the about this past game, Riders winning 40-18, of course. What do you guys make of the big play chain?
I think it's fun.
The boycott average. So every time a player makes a play, they put the chain on the sidelines. That's a really nice looking chain. I'm not into this whole bling thing. I'm definitely not a jewelry guy, but that thing is cool.
I'll give
on your guys' face when I say bling.
I'll give the Riders store credit. They were quick to jump on that one, not like the
pre-orders. They don't have them in stock, so
but they got them out there. Is the idea.
Well, that's kind of. Lord knows I complain about the Riders marketing team enough, and thank God they're on top of this. But actually, I think the coolest thing I saw about that entire chain, when Powell got that touchdown, he actually gave it to Bledek, because Bledek was the guy who sprung him on that long run. But so he came to the sideline, and whoever had the chain before him put it around his neck. Powell took it off and gave it to Bledek because
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's one of the few things you get to see when you're not watching the game in the stadium.
That shows you where this team is, though. That's a lot of respect from a veteran guy to give it. He knows who, what's the term? Who butters his bread?
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
It's a lot like Corey Sheets. Every time he got a touchdown or had 100 yards or whatever it was in 2013,
100-yard game, yeah,
100-yard game. He took his offensive line out for burgers.
That had to be an expensive bill by the end of that season.
He had a lot of 100-yard games that year. But
pretty sure he paid it off with his NFL signing bonus.
But 6-3, the Riders have won 5 straight for the first time since anybody?
2013?
2014.
Ooh, yes.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's been that long since the Riders have won 5 straight games.
Well, when we win the first quarter this week in Winnipeg, it'll be 5 games.
In Winnipeg?
No, when we win the first quarter against Winnipeg this week,
there you go.
It'll be 5 games.
That joke originally went right over my head and I pieced it together the second time you said it.
I got it, and I just didn't think it was funny, so I wasn't
going to react. There you go.
That's usually where we go.
So again, a 40-18 win, Riders going to 6-3, and this upcoming back-to-back against Winnipeg, that's going to determine possibly
first place. That's nuts.
Who would have thought that? That'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk more about that Labor Day game in just a little bit here. The opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian, Royal LePage. CFL Tweet of the Week time. What do we have this week?
For the first time ever, the CFL Tweet of the Week is going to a player.
What?
Yep.
They don't count. Come on.
Oh, this one does.
Jeff Tech?
He would have got it a few weeks back.
Because he hasn't tweeted.
But it is a reply to Jeff Hecht, and it goes to Richie Leone. So for anyone who isn't paying attention, a month back, Jeff Hecht gave hell to the Red Blacks long snapper who tested positive for drugs. As we all know, a certain bomber tested positive for drugs, and we'll get into that in a minute.
Anabolic Andrew.
I like that. And Richie Leone responded. So Jeff Hecht gave hell to the Red Blacks player. Richie Leone, who's the punter for the Red Blacks, goes, "I think we're all just waiting on team spokesman at JeffHecht24 for his take on the matter. Very interested in what he has to say since he's so well-versed on the drug policy." And he is not the only player that has ripped into Jeff Hecht.
There has been
a bunch.
Daron Carter, Eric Rogers.
Yeah.
I saw a meme, and I forget, it was on one of the Rider fan pages on Facebook. It was a meme, and it was Daron Carter with a big smile on his face, and I said, who would have thought Andrew Harris would get suspended for drugs before I would. Hilarious.
Yep. This whole situation is amazing. And I'm sorry, if you believe him, good for you, and we'll get into it. I'll give my opinion later.
Well, no, let's do that right now. So Andrew Harris gets suspended 2 games. He'll miss the Labor Day Classic and the Banjo Bowl, the 2 most crucial games of the season right now.
CFL loves the Riders.
Oh, you're one of them? Oh, yeah, there's that tinfoil hat you got on there, Greg. Crinkle. So he'll miss those games, tested positive. His B sample got tested positive. For a little bit of trace and of a banned substance. So I like Andrew Harris. I think he's one of the top, 3 players in the league. He's an absolute phenomenal talent. One of the nicest guys in the league as well, too. And I truly believe that he didn't take something banned on purpose. At the same time, it's never their fault. It's always the supplement company or whoever sold it to them that didn't tell them. It's always their fault, right? You're still putting something in your body. And if you don't know exactly what's in there, they have your trainers. Take that product to your trainers.
Here's the problem. And then I always find this a problem with anytime someone goes, it's a supplement I took and I went and bought myself. There's a list the Canadian Anti-Doping Association puts out there that tells you of supplements that have been tested and that have been approved that will not cause anything. If you buy something, you can give it to your team and they will go get it tested for you. And that's always the problem with testing the substance that apparently caused this to happen after the fact, is because you don't know when it was tainted. So it's fishy, I hate it, and it's an easy excuse for something that I don't necessarily believe, unfortunately.
See, and here's my thoughts. And we hear all these, well, why would a guy take drugs if he gets tested so often? So if you're gonna dope up, when is the most likely time you're gonna do it? Right after you got tested. Because they're not gonna test you again right away.
You think.
Except they did.
And maybe they found something they weren't quite sure of in the last test and jumped on it real quick. I don't buy it. I'm sorry, we live in a world now where every athlete, I didn't do it, it was an accident. Oops.
You're still putting something in your body.
Yeah, it's 100% on you. Know what you're doing. And like you said, they have this list of things they can take. Why are they taking the, what did Derek Taylor call it, the rhino energy pill or whatever, right? Like, you don't need to do that.
I say screw it. Let them all know. Let them all take this kind of stuff. It puts everybody back on the same playing field. Remember 1998 Major League Baseball season? Who didn't love Sammy Sosa versus Mark McGwire? You love, well, come on.
I'm just kidding. You probably didn't even, I just wanted to be the argumentative side.
Everybody loved that. Barry Bonds, as much as we know he's a cheater. 73 home run season, that was fantastic to watch. He was just popping dingers everywhere.
It also led to my favorite baseball memory that had nothing to do with that.
That was a good time in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Let everybody dope. Who cares? They're all in the same play. If you need that, I get it. You take supplements for an advantage. A guy who's 32 years old in a workhorse position like running back, like he is, with 45% of the team's total touches, and he's getting better after the 30 mark, which is the wall, so to speak, for running backs.
Totally legit.
Right.
And that's the thing, though, is like the people that are always taking the drugs are always going to be two steps ahead of those who are trying to catch them. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it always was. Like I said in my piece that went live today, Alex Rodriguez never actually failed a drug test. But he got the longest ban in Major League Baseball outside mm-hmm. Pete Rose. Roger Clemens never got busted on a drug test. But he's one of the faces of the steroid era, technically.
Should Andrew Harris be in contention for most outstanding player? That's a good debate I saw on social media. Was that, is it tainted now?
Yes.
Is this MLP? Because it's basically between him and Trevor Harris.
I did a Twitter poll on that. 68% of people said no. The other 32% were Bombers fans.
And that's true, though. Like, I had Bombers fans like, of course he's going to come back. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. And he's going to blow away the league because he's going to put his head down. And I'm like,
I mean, two games rest in the middle of the season, that's kind of big.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, but it's still like, I'm a Patriots fan. Every year I have to hear about Tom Brady and footballs and deflated footballs. There's so many things that point to Tom Brady actually not doing it more than there is that point to Tom Brady actually doing it.
Except for the deflated footballs.
It's called Science Point, Dexter. Use those glasses.
I do like the fact that Tom Brady did get suspended for possibly having a general knowledge
of it happening.
Of something happening.
I know, that's the best thing. It was the most vaguest wording ever. But, not that he actually did it, but he may have had knowledge that someone did it for him, maybe. I don't know.
He deserved it.
Anyway.
He's a cheater.
And then that's it. And that's always going to be the case of possibly one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Asterisk. Is always going to be having an asterisk beside him. So, I am telling you right now, Andrew Harris, if he's an MOC or MOP, there better be a bloody asterisk behind it if we got to hear about three quarters of a game in Montreal.
Anabolic Andrew. I can't take credit for that.
Yeah.
Somewhere else. That was funny. All right, well, we'll talk a little bit more about the Bombers here in a little bit. You know what we haven't done in a while? A good solid rant.
I think I was pretty close on that one.
You were close. My turn.
Asterisks.
So on this week's Churchill Brewing Company Rant of the Week, I want to call out CFL fans. And this is just in general. Last week, IG Field hosted the NFL preseason game, which was a complete joke, by the way. That's a totally different topic, between the Packers and the Raiders. So they ended up playing on their 80-yard makeshift field, which was kind of a joke because the Raiders play on dirt, a baseball field anyway. So why people were complaining about a little small hole in the end zone, whatever. Anyway, CFL fans wanted this to fail from the get-go. I think it's because it's an inferiority complex that we have in Canada that we're jealous of the NFL. Is our game more exciting? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. There's a lot of dull games in the CFL. There's a lot of great games in the NFL. And I know I'm going to piss off the hardcore CFL fans here, but I like both games. I find CFL more like checkers, and I see the NFL more like chess. It's a little bit more of a methodical thing. You're more worried about the clock than you are, so it's a little bit more timing than anything. CFL is just bombs away. Let's score a boatload of points. But this want for the NFL to fail at anything in Canada is just ridiculous. Why wouldn't you want this to be good? You should want this to succeed so that they'll bring players here, that we'll get to see an Aaron Rodgers, we'll get to see an Antonio Brown play in our smaller little stadiums. I don't know why we can't just embrace it or just let people have their fun. If people want to go and spend $400 for overpriced crappy tickets for a joke of a preseason game, let them have fun. If it's not for you, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But automatically calling it a failure, I mean, yeah, you're right.
It was a failure.
But at the same time, wanting everything to just suck and everything, like, what do you say? You don't like a certain movie, so you want it to fail? It doesn't matter. I don't want Star Wars to fail. I don't really care about Star Wars, but I don't hope that everybody goes there, wastes their money, and hates it. I don't want it to flop. Go out and enjoy it. I don't care. It's entertainment. Let people spend their money. But it just seems like any time that the NFL is brought up to CFL fans, it's like, oh, the NFL sucks. This whole jealousy thing just, it got to me last week, and I'm just sick of it. Just let people enjoy the game. If you don't want to go, don't go. That's fine. If you don't want to watch the NFL, don't go. Just don't crap on it. There's no reason to. Why are we always so negative with everything that we do? And that's as a whole as society.
I can see it. I see it your way. Like, I see it both ways, actually, because I see your way where you had the CFL fans where basically grabbing a voodoo doll and sticking pins in Roger Goodell as much as they could. And then you also get this, when the NFL season starts, all you see is, oh good, real football started. And
there's absolutely that as well.
And so I see it both ways. And I think the most fun I had though during the entire Winnipeg debacle was watching like ESPN writers and personalities commenting basically how Canada dropped the ball for their great game. I'm like, come on.
No, that was not Canada's fault.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with Winnipeg. It has nothing to do with the CFL or even IG Field. It was bad promotion, and the fact that the NFL waited till an hour before the game to inspect the field is...
No, they cleared it the day before.
Oh, it was the
NFL and the PA approved the field.
As a Packers fan, that whole debacle was 100% on my team. Their GM came out, started kicking at the little square of turf. And
he wanted a reason to not play Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
That was all it was.
And it was ridiculous. I mean, I feel bad for the people that paid a lot of good money to watch what they were told was going to be and what should have normally been
the starters.
I mean, as a Packers fan, I don't want my team sitting starters in the third preseason game. That's when they get their work.
Here's my point. If it was going to become a glorified scrimmage anyway, why not just play on a Canadian-sized field? That way you don't have to worry about it.
That would have been fun to watch. Could you imagine guys like Antonio Brown, you know, Le'Veon Bell, some of those guys that are fun to watch on an NFL smaller field have the room to go?
A few years ago, the NFL, to help with injury problems, was kicking around the ideas of bigger fields. But, of course, a lot of their stadiums can't handle them right now because of the...
They're built to the specs.
They're built to spec. So this is your chance to basically field test a game for a larger field. Why not? It would have made more sense. It was going to be a glorified scrimmage anyway. So let's try it out.
All right, moving back to this side of the border. Time for this week's Underdogs Memorabilia Piffles Player Profile. This week, here's a little bit of Riders backup quarterback and special teams ace, Ryan Bennett.
Brian, you Labor Day's coming up. You were a Bomber, now you're a Rider. You excited to see it from both sides?
Sure, we'll be ready to roll, and I guess it will be different seeing it from this side, playing here in front of this home crowd in that game, and I'm sure that'll be electrifying. So
you've really made your name this year playing special teams, laying out some players. Isn't that kind of weird for a quarterback normally?
Yeah, definitely. I guess it's not, you know, your typical job that you get from a backup quarterback, but I've always said I'm a football player. You know, I think a lot of quarterbacks are. A lot of guys are, you know, they have that competitiveness to them. They got to be tough. So that's something that's kind of been, you know, natural for me for a long time. And, you know, I played high school defense, and even at Oregon when I was there, they were talking about moving me to safety. So it's kind of always been a conversation of, you know, me having other abilities, and you know, it's I'm not playing quarterback, so it's fun to at least get a chance to make some plays.
And next year with the CFL talking about only going to two quarterbacks, doesn't hurt your job prospects at all, does it?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see about that, how that's going. But I'm just gonna keep trying to make plays and keep getting better at quarterback along the way, and hopefully I can keep playing for a while.
So speaking of Oregon, you went to Oregon, then you went to Southeastern Louisiana.
Yeah.
What's going from a big, was it Pac-10 or Pac-12 back then?
My first year, I guess, was the last year of the Pac-10.
So
and then we became the Pac-12.
So going from a big Pac-12 school to Southeastern Louisiana, what kind of culture shock was that, I guess?
Man, that was a huge culture shock. One, just from going from kind of such a prestigious organization and school like Oregon with the facilities and all that, to going down to, which is still a great program at Southeastern, but, you know, obviously there's no Nike money running through there and things like that. And then just going from being, you know, in the Northwest to going to the South in Louisiana was a whole nother, you know, actual cultural shock. But it was an awesome experience. I met a lot of people there that are still, you know, friends, dang near family, you know, to this day and always will be. So it was a great experience, both for football and in life.
Okay, so we're going to do some rapid fire, then I'll get you out of here. Coke, Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Cookies or cake?
Cookies.
Celeb crush?
Christina Milian.
Good choice. Now you threw me off. If you go back in history, have a meal with anybody, who would it be?
Tupac.
Man, you're blowing my mind here. That's a good choice as well. Cody Fajardo made a picture famous with that, with ketchup on a corn dog. Ketchup or mustard?
Ketchup.
Most important question, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
All right, there's a little bit of Brian Bennett here on the Underdogs Memorabilia Piffles Player Profile. Labor Day week, gentlemen. Let's move on here. Let's get to our Tallgrass Apparel Enemy Preview. Before we talk about the game itself, Labor Day memories. Do we bring up the two obvious ones? Kerry Joseph in 07, Rocky Butler in 01? 02, whatever year it was.
Yeah.
With his three touchdowns.
What about the 52-0 ass kicking of the Bombers?
52-0.
Sorry, butt kicking of the Bombers.
Was amazing. What's your guys' favorite memory?
I can remember. I don't remember a lot of games, moments from games. I remember that Kerry Joseph run like it was yesterday. That'll probably go down as my favorite Labor Day memory to the day I die.
Every time I scroll through, every time that clip comes up on Twitter, because it comes up a lot, I watch every time. And every time, I keep on going, oh, yeah, there's no stands in the north end zone at that point. Or south end zone at that point. It's like, wow.
So we asked this on Twitter. What's your favorite Labor Day Classic memory? And, of course, those, the KJ game, the Rocky Butler game, the 52-0 game came up a couple of times as well. A couple really nice ones that I liked here. Outside of that, Murray says, my first Labor Day Classic was 1982, so he remembers that one. Joe Pow Pow to Ray Elgard for the late winning touchdown in 1986. And in 83, Ken Clark kicking the game-winning field goal just days after the passing of his mom. So I can imagine the emotion in the crowd on that one would have been just kind of great to be around. But my favorite one was from Krista, and she's actually won the CFL Tweet of the Week, but I like this. My very first time ever stepping foot in Saskatchewan was for Labor Day 09. I was in Section 28, and realized this town was the funnest place with the best people, and moved here a few months later. Turns out I wasn't wrong. So that's pretty cool to hear that you go to Section 28. And but I mean, Steve, you and I sat in Section 27. Greg, you were in Old Taylor Field as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
And East Side. Didn't matter where he sat. That was the best place to be.
Yeah, I didn't have season tickets back then, but I always loved being over there.
I probably cut my teeth more than I'd like to admit in Section 28 before I had season tickets. You get single game tickets. If you want a party, 28 was the place to be.
Where else could you yell Ballsy sucks at a hot tub?
I yelled that last game.
Was a hot tub involved?
No. There needs to be a hot tub at the new stadium, and I want to sit in it. Just because hot tub. Preferably in November. Ooh, Grey Cup 2020.
There you go.
See if we can sponsor a hot tub. The Pipples Podcast Grey Cup Hot Tub. And nobody's going to want to sit
in it. No one's going to want that.
No, we'll wear shirts. It'll be fine. And a couple other ones. Gene Draper says 56-4 in 1995 and 55-11 in 1990. Were great. He thinks Fairholm caught a 107-yard touchdown in the 1990 game, so hopefully we get a repeat of something like that this week here. Now, speaking of this week's game, Riders against the Bombers, we'll mention it again, Andrew Harris out for 2 weeks. Jader!
But on the plus side, they've got a great backup running back in Chris Trebler.
I made that joke already.
Did you? When?
Today on Twitter.
Oh, I missed it.
Sorry, yesterday on Twitter.
I got you muted, so I don't care.
That's I would do that too if I was you.
No, actually, I just don't pay attention because it's Steve.
That's fair.
I don't even pay attention to the stuff I say.
So Harris out for 2 weeks. Johnny Augustine going to take his place. And I saw somebody saying, well, we got Johnny Augustine. You better watch out. This is a guy who couldn't crack a couple different rosters that didn't really have any good running backs.
So he was on our roster and he couldn't crack it.
I saw somebody say he could be a starter on a bunch of different teams.
No, he can't.
You want to talk about being a homer? Good Lord. Tell me what he's done that makes you think he could be a starter on any team.
Well, come on, guys.
He's got to have, what, like 3 professional carries in his career?
God, they've got Johnny Augustine who can start on any team, and they got a 1,000-yard receiver, Nick Dembski. They've got the best quarterback in the league with Chris Trevler. We're screwed.
You know, we make fun of that, but Nick Dembski is the guy who's probably going to get a few more touches here with Andrew Harris out. Harris gets 45% of their touches. Dembski is next, actually. Yeah. And he's put together, we joke about it, got a little bit of an inside joke with the 1,000-yard thing, but he's having a pretty good year.
And I love Nick Dembski. Like, I'm not, every time I say that is not take a shot at Nick Dembski. I think he's a hell of a player. He's had injury problems, and that's kind of that kind of hampered him here and with Winnipeg. Oh. But I think he's a hell of a talent. And he could be a 1,000-yard receiver if used properly, but they've got so many other weapons. And when Andrew Harris is taking up half your offense.
Well, he doesn't need to be a 1,000-yard receiver for that team, right?
This is exactly what happens. This is a problem when you put the majority of your team on the shoulders of one guy and then sit him. Well, see him get suspended for being a cheater. I mean, do you feel bad for Bombers fans?
I don't. Because every other team has had problems, have had issues. We're without our best offensive lineman and have been all year in Brendan Labatt. Who knows if he's even going to play again. So we don't even know what the issue's going on. The team's being super quiet about that, and I don't really like that, but whatever. But every team has problems. Every team has injuries. Even in week one, teams have injuries. You'll never get a team's best team. You'll never, ever get it. It's literally impossible. There's always some nicks. There's always somebody being held out for, you know, whatever reason, to keep them fresh later in the year or whatever. You're always going to have that. You can only play the teams that are put in front of you. And this is the team that the Riders have in front of them.
And once again, the league loves the Riders and is screwing the Bombers on purpose.
Oh, good.
And there's people who believe that.
Oh, I see.
They're the same morons who think that Johnny Augustine would be a starter on half the teams. Sorry. And Chris Strebler is actually good.
Let's talk about Chris Trebler. That was the next point. Starting again, of course. Okay, raise your hands.
No.
If I would have told you that Strebler would have completed seven passes, whatever it was last week, throw for only 87 yards, Trevor Harris would throw for 350 plus, and the Bombers would win. Raise your hand if you think the Bombers would have won that. Nobody raising their hand. I don't know how this team can win with that kind of...
Because they had 2 running backs.
I picked Edmonton to win, and by if you looked at the box score minus the actual score, you would have thought Edmonton won that game.
And the problem is Edmonton can't score in the red zone. They look a lot like the Riders of last year. They can move the ball between the 20s, but they cannot finish. They're kicking too many field goals, and it's going to cost them. And that's exactly what happened. But Winnipeg won that game because of their smothering defense. We'll get to that in a second. What would you do? I know Andrew Harris isn't playing this, so that kind of changes defensive game plan just a little bit. But what would you do if you're Jason Shivers, defensive coordinator for the Riders? How do you defend Chris Streveler?
Contain him. Let him throw the ball. He can't. Simple as that.
You don't need make his arm beat you.
So do you take Manny Arsenault, or do you take Solomon Elamimian and just let him spy Streveler the entire time?
Absolutely.
Do you give absolutely no respect to Johnny Augustine?
No.
None. Absolutely not.
Unless Augustine rips off a bunch of big yardage plays on you.
And then you bring in Cam Judge to, you know, one of, he goes after the running back and Solly looks after
You keep Streveler in a box and you make him try to throw over you. That's it.
If you test Chris Streveler and make him beat you with his arm, he won't.
I think a lot more depends on the defensive ends. If they aren't crashing down too hard and taking the outside gaps and allowing Streveler to run inside, if they're not getting too deep in the pocket, that's good. Don't let them just straight up run after the quarterback. You're gonna have to play contain, like you said. If they just let him throw it, easy victory. Should be. The one guy that you have to worry about the Bombers though is Willie Jefferson,
best athlete in the league, hands down. Fight me on it.
You mean you don't have to worry about Lucky Whitehead, the guy who's equally as good as Brandon Banks after one good game?
Yeah, what's he done lately?
Fail for my fantasy team more weeks
he liked my Willie Jefferson tweet.
Hey, he's good but marketing for the league. Willie Jefferson's amazing, though.
3 sacks last week, a couple forced fumbles, 4 tackles, the big onside kick recovery, knocking the ball out of bounds.
Had the best conversation with his hands I've ever seen.
Dude is a monster. And the news...
Did you see that?
Yeah.
He swiped at a ball, he went to intercept it and basically knocked it down, so it became a bat down, or whatever the hell you want to call it.
I got to avoid the Chris Streveler gong show.
Oh, yeah. And so he just basically had this conversation with his hands, basically talking with his hands, trying to know why they basically let him down.
Yeah, so he almost had a pick 6 in that game, yeah, too. Guy was everywhere. And news came out that the Riders lowball offered him $175,000 to stay.
And he took less to go to Winnipeg.
Less than what Toronto offered.
Yeah,
still got
That headline pisses me off.
Yeah.
Riders lowball, he takes less. He didn't. Well, no, I agree that the Riders lowball, but he didn't take less in Winnipeg than we offered him. And that's what that headline was made to make you think. 100%. I mean, he took less to go to not go to Toronto, but, I mean, so do a lot of people. Didn't Derek Dennis do that a couple years back, too?
Yep.
But Levi Mitchell, the same thing. He took less money to go to Calgary over Toronto. Yeah.
So, I think the Riders made a mistake there. But I mean, who would have expected we wouldn't see a similar season from Micah Johnson that he's given us for the last few years? He's still giving us pressure, but he's not giving us the numbers.
Do you guys see this offense for the Riders bringing in a sixth lineman or bringing in a receiver to kind of chip at Willie Jefferson just to try to disrupt him a little bit?
Because
I see that happening quite a bit. And when you look at what Cody Fajardo does, he scrambles and rolls around quite a bit. And he turns his back to the play way too much for my liking. And I don't know how teams haven't figured that out yet. He literally does that all the time. How they don't defend that, I don't get it. But against Willie Jefferson, you can't be doing that. Do you maybe take the offense and roll it away from Willie Jefferson all the time just to keep him away?
You gotta keep him in check until they start playing Willie all over the field. Like, you gotta get that play away from Willie and force Winnipeg's defense to do something to figure it out.
I mean, they still have Adam Big Hill, so it's still a good defense in Winnipeg. And like I mentioned earlier, that was the reason why they beat Edmonton last week. It's not going to be an automatic win, even though it's Labor Day and it's an automatic win. I don't think it's as easy as it should be on paper.
It's going to be a defensive battle either way. It's going to be a low-scoring affair, I think.
I'll give my prediction on the game in a few minutes, but I don't think it's going to be as difficult as you guys are predicting.
Okay, well, let's get right to our pick'em then. Labor Day weekend. Bombers at Riders. Riders. Because it's Labor Day.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to my usual Riders by 10+. They're not letting me down.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Toronto at Hamilton.
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 It's Labor Day. Anything can happen. Argos. They should have beat Montreal in the touchdown Atlantic game. But Marnie Edwards dropped the ball at the very end.
That's why we got rid of
it. SJ Green was wide open on that play, too. Edmonton at Calgary, which is actually this back-to-back, Edmonton-Calgary. That's a huge, huge battle in the West.
Battling for third.
I bet Edmonton's sweeping that series.
I actually like Edmonton on this one, too.
I'm taking Calgary. I don't trust Edmonton on the road and going up against a good team. I don't see Edmonton doing it.
Do we know if Bowley by Mitchell's? I guess we won't know.
We won't know until what, Thursday?
Yeah.
When they get back out in practice.
Can I add a, if Bowley plays, Calgary wins?
No, you can't add that.
Nope.
Damn.
There is no
Edmonton then.
Audio evidence of you ever saying that. So you cannot
add it. You make sure of that.
Okay. Well, Labor Day is here. We got the Badger Bowl coming up next week. It's the best 2 weeks in the CFL outside of the playoffs. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Bomber fans, bring it. We absolutely love it when you show up here to Mosaic Stadium.
Holy crap, we're on the road next week.
And we are, yeah. Hitting the road with the sold-out Piffles Podcast bus to Winnipeg for the Badger Bowl. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk about that next week. Everybody enjoy Labor Day. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, go Riders. This has been the Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. If you want to follow us individually, I don't know why you would, but you can. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Finished My NFL Draft.
I'm sure there's probably an account.
Or Strevamod.
Strevamod.
No.
And follow me at Greg on Sports.
Do you really want to hear me swear on an episode?
Yes.
You have done it before.
No. In words that would get us not a friendly, what is it, a family rating on Apple.
So just don't mention Al Bradbury?
Best ref in the league.
I got in trouble for commenting on the reffing when we were winning last week, so I won't comment on Albert Bradbury's garbage reffing today.
Give us a like on Facebook as well, and check out the website, pifflespodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina.
Sorry, I just realized something you might want to bring up. Stop the goddamn wave! Okay, I'm done.
I didn't even notice. I was too busy being in shock of Andrew Luck dropping his retirement bomb.
And then getting booed?
Yeah, screw those fans.
Yeah.
Dinks.
You gotta give respect to a guy like Andrew Luck there. That you lost the love for the game. Your injuries have taken such a physical and emotional toll on you that you're gonna walk away from hundreds of millions of dollars in your career.
Imagine walking away from that kind of money. I don't know if I could walk away from one of those millions, let alone hundreds of them.
Well, it's different if you already have $100 million in the bank.
You're saying I don't have one? I don't have one.
No, you don't.
I don't.
Night one of the XFL. Oh, my and God. That's Andrew Luck's music.
Very possible. His dad
runs the league. He's the commissioner.
Not going to happen. Anyway,
that'd be amazing.
You got to respect a guy for doing that. So good for you, Andrew Luck. Piffles Podcast brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Underdogs Memorabilia for their support to make the show possible. Piffles Podcast is a proud member of the CFPN, the Canadian Football Podcast Network. I promise we didn't give the dogs any sugar, but they're running around like it.
Straight up meth.
And we're a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. We gotta go. This is Ghost Behind Your Mind, Tyler Gibbons.